Good morning.
Let's turn, just for the reading of a few verses, to the Gospel of John and the chapter 10. Just want to read one or two verses that are relevant to our study today. Continuing to consider David as a picture of the Lord Jesus, pointing out just some of the parallels between the life of David and our Savior. I have reminded you in the past that when someone visits your home, maybe an aunt that hasn't seen you for a good while, and they come in and they look at you, "Oh, how big you have become. You're really growing up." And then they look down at you and they say, "You know, you've got your mommy's eyes, or you've got your daddy's nose." I'm sure that has been said to you. And it illustrates for us what we're doing here. Just as you have little pointers about yourself that reflect your mommy or your daddy, likenesses to your mommy or your daddy, so in the Bible you find that some of the great men particularly have very prominent likenesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all of us should have a likeness to Christ. We should grow more and more like him. We should become more and more like him. And we are just seeking to learn about the Savior by searching out some of the likenesses in the life of David. So let's read these verses in John chapter 10, first of all. John chapter 10, we'll read from verse 27. Verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Now, we started this little study comparing David to the Lord Jesus and seeing the likenesses that there are in him last Tuesday. And we looked at his lineage, or how he descended, that is, the Lord Jesus descended from David. Looked at some verses that pointed out that the Lord Jesus was the son of David. He came of that royal line. We considered quickly his birthplace, because the Savior was born at Bethlehem, as was David. And we remember the special circumstances whereby God, on his throne, ordered events in the land of Israel, whereby Joseph and Mary were caused to leave Nazareth, where they were residing and living, and return to Bethlehem, which was the seat of their family. As a result of that, the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. I told you he would otherwise have been born in Nazareth. And of course that could never be. That could never be. Because we are told by the prophet that the place of the birth of the Lord Jesus was to be Bethlehem. And when the wise men arrived looking for the Lord Jesus, they made inquiries. And Herod consulted the men who knew the scriptures, at least to some degree. And those men said, "Why, the prophet said he's going to be born in Bethlehem." And that information was passed to the wise men, and off they went, and sure enough, they found the Savior in Bethlehem. So there's that parallel. Now we come to some more today. We're going to look at his calling. What was David? David was a shepherd. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I might say this is the first mention of the name of David from that occasion that it appears in the last verse of Ruth. So here is only the second time the name David appears. And isn't it a strange thing that there never was another David? You would have thought that would have become a very popular name. There were many Jameses, there were many Josephs. As you read your Bible, you will come upon name after name after name that is shared among many people. But there's only one David. Only one David. plenty of Davids today. The name of David appears in many households today. But in the Bible, only one David. Anybody suggest why that might be? Because these things all have a reason. And if you think about it, you might come up with a reason. God rules these matters. Well, might I suggest to you that you only encounter one David because God wanted to emphasize the uniqueness of the person that David points us to, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior. There's only one Redeemer. There is only one Christ. And this man, David, who pictures very wonderfully the Lord Jesus. There was only one David. And I think that that underscores the uniqueness of our Savior. But in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we're looking at the verse 11, we read these words. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, fresh, faced, showing health. He was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance. His face was very regularly featured. He hadn't a big nose, or a tiny nose, or big ears, or small ears, or anything like that. He had a face where all the features of that face were very regular. He was beautiful. Oh, I never read that verse, but I realize that there is a setting forth here of the beauty of the Lord Jesus. The face of Christ must have been exquisite. He had a perfect face. There was never one who looked like him. Never one. And David foreshadowed that. He was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. What was he doing at this time? He was looking after sheep. And we read from John chapter 10, because there the Lord Jesus clearly indicates that he too was a keeper of sheep. Sheep of a different nature, different kind. It's a referring there to the flock of God. Those who are saved, they are as a flock of sheep. The Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd. Peter said, he is the chief shepherd. And so there is this parallel, where the Lord Jesus and David were both shepherds. The shepherd has to look after the sheep. Psalm 23 indicates that. David there likens the Savior unto a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I never want anything. I never be in need of anything. He leadeth me. Green pastures, still waters. He provides for everything. Not only my food, but he secures me, protects me. And I am safe under his care. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. So it is with the Lord Jesus. There's one thing a shepherd often has to do, and that is go out after the wandering sheep. Sheep wander. Oh, sheep wander. They go off on their own. Oftentimes they don't notice it. They're so busy chewing at the grass, and they just follow their nose, as it were, and they don't take note of the fact that they're leaving the rest of the sheep behind, and they're on their own. And we're the same. The hymn writer said words that have become so memorable in the lives and experiences of God's people generally. Prone to wander, Lord, I own it. Prone to leave the God I love. The word prone means I'm inclined. That's my habit. That's what I find myself doing constantly. Wandering. You know, when God likened his people unto sheep, that shows the infinite wisdom of God, and it shows the knowledge God has of his people, that he should pick this particular animal as a likeness of his people, because we have the habits of sheep, particularly that of wandering. And the Lord Jesus, the shepherd, has to go out and seek us. You remember how David, when he came forward and volunteered to go and fight Goliath, and Saul, who was king at that time, looking on him, said, you're only a young fellow. You couldn't take on Goliath. David would have been only a teenager. He was out looking after the sheep when Samuel came, directed by God to anoint one of the sons of Jesse as king. He was out with the sheep because his father said, "Ach, you're too young to be a king. That would be laughable. You just go on out with the sheep." Because he was young, he was only a teenager. And probably at that time, just right in the middle of his teens, maybe 15 or 16. And when shortly after Saul looked on him, he said, "You can't fight Goliath." You remember what David said? David said, "When I have been looking after my father's sheep, a lion came, a bear came, and stole a lamb. And I went out after them, and I killed the lion, and I killed the bear." So, though he was young in years, I would say David must have been a very, very well-built lad. I've often thought of that, you know, when later on, when he had no weapons, he took the sword of Goliath. Now remember, Goliath was a giant, and therefore an ordinary sword would not have been what he would have used. There would have been a sword made for him, which would have been longer than most swords and heavier than most swords, and yet David could use it. David could use it. David must have been a very powerfully muscled man. And even as a lad, he showed this prowess and said, "I killed the lion and I killed the bear because my sheep were precious to me and I wasn't going to allow any animal, any wild beast to kill them." And of course he shows forth the Savior. You have a Savior if you're saved today. You have a Savior who will not allow anyone to harm you. He will come to your rescue. He will see to it that you are not harmed, and he will bring you safely home. You remember the parable of the lost sheep, the 99 that were safe and one that went off. And the shepherd set out and followed and found the sheep, and then he laid the sheep upon his shoulders and he came home with the sheep. Brought it home. And you have a Savior who will bring you all the way home. Oh, rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. We have another pointer here. Last Tuesday, when we started this study, we read some verses from Psalm 22. And there was in the life of David a wonderful parallel to the experiences of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 is a psalm in which David cries out unto God of his loneliness, of his rejection by men, of his suffering at the hands of men, of how he feels that he has even been rejected by God. And that Psalm 22 is all about that. Now, when we read Psalm 22, if you turn to it, when we read Psalm 22, we automatically think of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the psalm begins with the very words that the Lord Jesus uttered upon the cross. And that's what makes us think of the Savior and of Calvary. Psalm 22, the verse 1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Those are the words of the Savior on the cross, when he became sin for us. And because he had become sin, God the Father withdrew from him. God can't have any dealings with sin. And there's something for you to learn if you're not saved today. If you are still in your sins today, God can't have any dealings with you. When the Lord Jesus was on the cross, our sins were laid upon him. He became sin, is what the Bible says. He became sin. He became sin in God's eyes, and God withdrew from him because he was as sin. And if you're not saved today, God will not have anything to do with you while you're in your sins. That's why in eternity, when men are gathered before God and judgment takes place, those who are in their sin are put away from God for all eternity. It says they go into outer darkness. It's as if God says, I don't want them in my presence. I want them removed so that I can't see them. Hide them away from me. And men go to eternal punishment because they are yet in their sin. God can't have anything to do with them. It's only by the cleansing away of your sin that you can know God's blessing and God's love and God's kindness. So, there was in the life of David this loneliness and suffering, this rejection by men. And Psalm 22, although we automatically think of the Lord Jesus when you come to this psalm, and rightly so, nevertheless, never let us forget that these words were written by David, and they express the experiences of David. Of course, foreshadowing the greater experiences of the Lord Jesus, the greater rejection, the greater suffering, the greater loneliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was that parallel between David and the Saviour in the loneliness and the forsaking of him by men and then on the cross by his Father. It's foreshadowed here. It's foreshadowed here in the life of David. I'll just close with one more thought, and that is the ultimate victory of David. Yes, Psalm 22 indicates the loneliness and the trials that poor David went through, and he really did go through trials. He really did. Hounded by Saul and by the majority in the land who still supported Saul, even though David was anointed by God as king. And David went through a lengthy time of trial. But ultimately, God brought him to victory. God brought him to victory. And in 1 Kings, the chapter 2, David's reign is at an end, and his son Solomon is about to come to the throne. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, the verses 10 to 12, we see the state of affairs at the end of David's reign. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly, greatly. So Solomon inherited a mighty kingdom. David had lived in caves. He had run about the mountains in the wilderness like a partridge, he said. Hunted just like a partridge. Now, if you boys know, or even you girls know anything about hunting partridges, even pheasants, they all have the same habit. If you flush out these birds, they rise swiftly into the air and their wings beating furiously, and they fly for about 100 yards and drop down again. They don't fly a mile away. They just do these little flights and drop down again into hiding. And that's how it was with David. He just went from one hiding place to another as he was pursued by his enemies. But now his kingdom is established. At the end of his days, he has been reigning over an extensive kingdom. And here's the important thing. I believe that under David, and then under Solomon too, the kingdom, the territories of Israel, extended to the borders, that God will one day once more establish as the territory of Israel. From the river Euphrates, right to the Mediterranean, that whole sweep of ground. And from right up at the north, down to the border of Egypt. Very, very rarely was that whole territory ruled. In fact, it was only in the heyday of David and then in Solomon's day that that was the case. After that, the enemy invaded and pushed, and the borders of Israel shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. And today, their borders are very small indeed. But under King Jesus, when he comes again, the border will stretch to the very limits of the territory God has ordained that Israel should have. That land promised to Abraham will indeed become the possession of Israel. So at the end, in the triumph of David, we have again the likeness to the Lord Jesus. Boys and girls, there are so many things that we could say about David, but we will leave it there, and in the will of the Lord next week we'll move on. We'll look at some fresh picture of the Lord Jesus as we find it in the Bible. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we ask thee to write your word on every heart. I pray that we might see, when we read our Bibles, pictures of the Savior. He is called the Word. And Lord, when we read the Word, we should see him. I pray that we will, each one of us, as we do our Bible reading in the daytime, see the Savior. Bless the school today. We thank thee for the good reports of the exam results. And we do commit to thee those of our loved ones who need your healing touch. Grant your blessing, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.